You're listening to Geek Speak. In-kind support comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McGrair, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louis the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going great. And yourself?
I'm great. It's really good to be here.
Yeah.
In person.
In person, even.
Live and impersonable.
Call in with your questions. 963-2976. I already got a call.
Oh, look at that.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, you asked someone to call.
Well, here you are.
Hey, Craig and Rifle.
How you doing, Louie?
Good, man.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. I wanted to know what recommendation you have for connecting Android phones to Microsoft Windows 10.
Super glue.
Okay. There's a thing called My Phone Companion. And
okay.
Some other ones. I just want to be able to take pictures and things like that and download them to my computer.
Well, you know, being a relative Android outside observer, it'll take me just a second to give my two cents worth, and that is that the Android platform is so Google, you know, it's basically is Google.
Yes.
And so have you played around with Google Photos at all?
They're in Google Photos, but when I put, because some Androids, you have a micro card,
uh-huh.
and then you've got the internal storage.
Sure.
And so I was just looking for something that also they say you could do SMS or whatever. You connect your Android so that it comes up on your screen, and I don't have to look at the stupid screen on my phone and do things that way. So is there anything that you guys like that might work for that?
Okay, I'm going to bounce it over to Matt.
So I'd say just plug it in, go to camera or DMI, whatever it is.
DCIM.
Yeah,
DCIM. Done that.
Yeah.
And then they're just JPEG files in there. You should be able to have your phone connect to the computer as a mass storage device and just copy them over.
And what about texting and all that through my computer and a real keyboard instead of having to use my stupid text keyboard on my phone?
What provider are you with?
Verizon.
Okay. So Verizon has Messages Plus. And so what I do is I have Messages Plus loaded on my tablet, my phone, as well as my computer at the office. And basically it's a unified messaging platform that Verizon provides. And you can just load the software on your computer and start typing. You just link your computer to your cell phone account and start texting.
Oh, that's excellent.
What's that called, Matt? Messages Plus?
Messages Plus. Let me just double check that. It's from Verizon, but I believe it's Messages Plus. They may have renamed it recently, so let me...
Do you have to go to Verizon's site?
Yeah, I believe so. Let me just see what they're calling themselves these days. Account. Let's see here. Manage devices. All right, so... Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Just look at, if you Google Verizon Messages Plus, I think that'll get you there.
Very good. Well, that's what I wanted to know.
All right.
And by Plus, I mean the Plus key, not PL.
The sign.
Yeah, the Plus sign.
Got it.
Okay. The Plus sign, not Messages Plus.
Right.
Oh. Okay.
Good. We just saved you half an hour, right?
No, it doesn't take me that long to type. Hey, you guys have a nice Christmas.
All right, you too, Craig.
Yeah, take care. You, Lou. It's nice to have you back, man.
Oh, thanks, man. It's like first and third Monday, I'll be here.
Well, so, you weren't for the last few, but that's okay.
Well, yeah, I had a little technological meltdown last time I was supposed to be here. So, but I've taken care of that. So,
well, you know, after your car battery is 5 or 6 years old, you should replace it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, my Motorola Razr did not notify me that I was supposed to go do Geek Speak that day.
See you, Lou.
All right, take care.
All right. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
So I was going to mention that, have you ever set it up for any of your Apple customers? There's actually a way to receive SMS on a Wi-Fi connected iPad or computer. You can basically...
Well, can't you just connect your SMS carrier to iMessage or whatever they're calling it now and do it through there on your computer and phone and everything?
Well, it basically, the way it's done is you go into the settings on your iPhone, and when you go scroll down to the Messages app and you tap on it and go into settings for it, there's a option there to enable text message forwarding. And basically the way it works, though, is they have to be on the same Wi-Fi network.
So it makes a local link kind of thing.
You know, so as long as I'm in the house, I can send and receive SMS on my computer through the iMessage program as I can through my iPad. So a lot of people don't know that. And you know, a lot of people don't know, an amazing number of people don't know that the difference between the blue messages in iMessage and the green messages in iMessage. A lot of people, you know, they just don't pay enough. You know the difference, right, Matt?
I don't own an iDevice.
Oh, well,
but I've seen it. Yes, I've seen that there are blue messages and green messages.
I've heard that there are blue So the green messages are the SMS or messages that come from either a Android device, an old school cell phone, or an iPhone device that was out at the fringes of coverage that couldn't get an internet connection, could only get an SMS connection. You know, a lot of people don't know that, that the technology used to send what we call SMS or simple messaging services is much, I guess it's more robust, I guess, you know, would
right.
be the best way to put
it. It's an old school cellular frame. It's something that's tacked on to the basic transmission, mm-hmm. you know, of X1 and even before that G2 technologies. Uh-huh. So it's part of the cell phone transmission frame. That's just sort of tacked on the end of each packet, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more complicated than
exactly.
that. But it'll go, as long as you have one bar, it'll eventually go.
Yeah. And iMessage, on the other hand, is a completely internet-based messaging system. So whether it's done over the cellular internet system, you know, for your carrier, or whether it's done through your Wi-Fi network, iMessage basically requires a strong enough connection and a connection to a cellular network that has internet connectivity in order for iMessage to work. So, yeah. So basically the messages in your iMessage program that are in the green bubble are messages that, like I said, came from somebody with an Android, or some people may have noticed that when you're trying to send a text message on an iPhone and it fails the first time, if you tap the little red eye in a circle, one of the options will be send as text message. And that's basically what it's telling you, is that we've got the resources to send it as a text message, but not the resources to send it as an iMessage. So anyway, you know, that's a little piece of errata that a lot of people didn't know or might not have known about iMessage program, that you can flat out tell what kind of phone somebody's got just by what color their text messages come in. So
nice.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, so in order to turn that on, you just have to go in, you go into settings on your iPhone and you go to scroll down to messages, and then you go into the tap on that. There's an option called text message forwarding, and that'll take you into another window that will have a list of devices that are valid as places that could receive text messages through your phone. So you can just turn that on, and then you have to go through a little verification process where it sends like a numerical code.
So you do like the do something similar on your iPad computer, and it'll
exactly
do like a 6-digit verification.
Yeah, sends it to your phone. You verify on the phone that you're, you know, going to allow the phone to forward SMS over to those devices, and you're good to go. So Anyway, so that's one little fun tip about that today. And so, yeah, you know, kind of back to Craig's subject, I think Google Photos is just a great way to get stuff back and forth. You know, it's
I don't ever plug my phone into my computer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I
pretty much transfer everything that way.
Yeah, I either use Photos or I use I have a NAS, a network attached storage device, a Synology device, and I run some Synology software called Moments on my phone, which is kind of a duplicate of Google Photos, and it just sends a verbatim copy of everything I take a picture of to a folder in my NAS that's available everywhere.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I'd never heard of that before. I'll have to check that out. So I'm just amazed at how many different apps, all the different functionality that a network attached storage device can do. You know, it's, I'm going to predict here that 3 to 5 years from now, most households are going to have something like that. You know, it's going to be more of every household's going to have some sort of a server, you know, to, you know, keep backups of all your devices and a centralized place for all that, you know, tons of video or audio or whatever. And it's going to be probably in the form of something really simple like a network attached storage device.
Right, where you have your little box and you have your 3 or 4 or 5 hard drives, or in my case, 10.
Mm-hmm.
Up to 26 terabytes at this point.
Yeah.
So.
You got the complete collection of every Marvel television and movie that's ever been created, probably on there.
No, I've never been much of an archiver, I'll have to say.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So, yeah. But just random things. It takes up a lot of space.
You know, when I look at the boxes full of DVDs that I haven't watched in years, and then when I think about, oh, I should set up a server and archive all this video onto it, I'm like, well, then I'll have it sitting on a server and not watch it rather than have it sitting in a box and not watch it.
So. But then you can get rid of I guess you're technically supposed to still have the original media because you can make a backup.
In case the FBI shows up.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Okay. 970-963-2976 is our number. If your printer is not printing, if your smartphone is not so smart, if your PC is
being a PC,
it's peeing its pants. We're here to answer. Like, if you got some tech, I've actually answered, like, on the phone today, a couple of, you know, really good tech questions with people who are shopping and looking to introduce some new technology into their world for the holidays, and you know, just kind of turning on to some little tips. Mm-hmm. And because having somebody like Matt or I that kind of, you know, that shop for this stuff all the time, we can kind of tell you some of the ins and the outs of it. So,
do you use Google Allo or any of the other messaging services that they are discontinuing shortly?
Allo?
A-L-L-O. It's a Google.
Wow. No.
All right.
I had not even discovered that one yet, and now the ship has sailed.
Yes, the ship has sailed.
So, yeah. It's, you know, the Google services that I use are, I use G Suite for my mail, use Google Docs quite a bit with clients and on projects. I like Google Keep a lot. I don't know. Do you use that?
Yeah, I've been using Keep. I've started testing Evernote as an alternative just to kind of see.
Now on Keep, I think one of the really valuable things about Keep is the ability to, I haven't really done it, but I know people who do it. You can share your Keep with somebody else, right?
Yeah. So I have a couple entries in my Keep shared with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like we get the,
There was an entry that just came in. It said, make sure and pick up milk.
Yeah, exactly.
On the way home, right?
So if we're running low on milk, I'll say, add that to the grocery shopping list. If we're low on toilet paper, I'll say, you know, we're low on toilet paper.
Exactly.
And then the next time we're shopping, we'll just scroll to that entry and go, oh, during the week we needed XYZ, go pick it up. And it's super handy.
Got it. Okay. Yep. No, I really like it. It's a really so you know, for those of our listeners that are not familiar with Keep, it's an application available on either platform, and it's basically for keeping lists. And you can create multiple lists. You know, one of them can be your work list, one of them can be your domestic list, however you want to do it. If you're a member of a nonprofit board or something, you can have a to-do list for your stuff through that. And you can share them. People, you know, the people you share them with, if you give them editing privileges, they can add things. You can cross things off. You can make sure that you don't reduplicate effort with other people, things like that. So,
yeah, or if you just run along run into a neat website or anything like that, just throw it in mm-hmm. there. So at some point you'll go back through there and be like, oh, I need to, you know.
Ah, yeah. You know, I hadn't thought about using it for that, but for me, it's like people are constantly telling me, oh, dude, there's this really cool TV series you need to watch, you know?
Yeah, I use
and
it
I
for
go,
that too.
Oh, I'll totally do that. And then I'll get home at night and go, okay, what was that called? So looks like we got a call.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Hey, my name's Jeff. Got a new computer recently. It's Asus laptop, and it had a trial version of Microsoft Office on it, and bought a new version, permanent, you know, license, not the yearly renewal, offline, and I got a key to install it, and as soon as the installation process started, I get to about 5% and it stalls out, and I get an error message that says, there's already a 64-bit version of this software installed on the computer, and gives me an option to install 64-bit, which I check, and then everything comes to a grinding halt.
All right. So what you should be able to do is open one of the trial apps. So just open up Word or Excel or PowerPoint or whatever, and it'll say, you know, this needs to be activated. You should be able, there should be an active or like a type of key. I'm trying to think of mm-hmm. whatever it says. Usually it's in the lower left-hand corner of the screen, and it'll say have key or something like that. Click on that, type in your key, and then that should activate the installed version already.
Okay.
And then you should be
type
good
in
to
the
go.
new new key I got.
Right. So just take that key you purchased and open up the old trial software, plug in the key, and then you should be good to go.
Okay, good. Hadn't thought of that one. Thanks.
Sure, you're welcome.
All right, thanks a lot.
I have a few more minutes here on GeekSpeak, 963-2976.
That was a good answer, by the way. That was a better answer than I would have given him. I would have like had him go to add remove programs and
yeah.
like take it out.
See, nuke it from orbit and then download yeah. the full version.
Exactly,
and then
run them all the way around the pike. And, yeah.
So yeah, that's the other option, but you should be able to just run the software and away you go. So
nice.
Don't have to run the installer. It'll just ask you for the
yeah.
key.
Yeah. That's one that a lot of people get caught on is, you know, there will be a, you know, that pre-installed version. And
they go buy
you're
it.
Really
says, hey, download
you're
it.
Really better off to activate it in one of their activation windows if you can, you know, when it comes, you know, 'cause the trial versions will at one point or another put their hand out and say, hey, I want some money.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to keep using me, I want some money. And it's quite honestly just better to, you know, and yeah, you may save $10 by going to Office Depot and getting a little scratch card, you know, but it's really not worth the trouble, you know, in my opinion. So,
well, and you have to special order those scratch cards. The supplier I have just gives you sends you the key
uh-huh.
and says, pass it along. They don't bother with it at all.
Got it. All right. Well, you know, I was kind of following the recent, I guess today, a bunch of new information got released about just how deep how deeply compromised our social networking was in this country during the election. And I, you know, immediately, you know, kind of like felt myself getting up on a soapbox about it. But I think the best way to approach it, especially here with the holidays, is to basic, you know, go along more along the lines of, I think a lot of people have allowed social networking to become, you know, it plays such a huge role, or like they try to use it to take the place of so many important human interactions, you know? And I even find myself doing it, you know, say I, you know, like kind of crosswise with somebody and, you know, want to, you know, need to call them out on the carpet about something or whatever. You know, I find myself going, oh, I'm just going to send a text message off to them, you know? Or, you know, I know people do it on Facebook, or I'll defriend them, or I'll send them a Facebook Messenger message or whatever.
It's just too easy, you know, to dispose of them.
Yeah. And, you know, so I guess I just want to kind of make a holiday plea, because this is our last show before Christmas. You know, that there is no substitute for calling them up, you know, and
having real discourse.
Know, yeah. And so many times that, you know, that crazy conversation that, you know, that script that you play through in your head, of how it's going to be if I call them, you know, it turns out not like that at all. You know, a lot of times they've come to a similar place of reconciliation, or, you know, they're willing to take ownership for, you know, their side of it or whatever. And the whole outcome is totally different, but the electronic wall, you know, empowers us, or makes us feel empowered.
Well, it gives you a power to filter out dissent.
Exactly.
Which is needed to make your point stronger, make your, you know, side more of use.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're sideways with somebody, I guess the most universal message would be, just be nice on social media. You know, let's just commit ourselves for a new year to just be nice on social media.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, I think it's okay to express your opinion and everything, but and if you are going to go on the, you know, if you're going to go on the take, make sure that your facts, you know, that you've got four different sources for them, because, you know, so many of the misinformation that came out during the election is stuff that had somebody taken a couple minutes to go out, and had people taken a couple of minutes to go out and like examine how valid, you know, that information is, they would have pretty quickly found out that it was not good information.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have just written down who they want to vote for on a postcard and fill in an address and send it off and then stay home on election day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's, thank God I didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mail-in ballots are great.
They are. But you cannot make your own.
No.
It's not a BYO thing. It's got to be, you know, contrary to what the Russians would have you think, it's not a bring your own situation. Okay? So, anyway.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McGrair from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
All right.
Yep. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Have a great new year.
Hope you get everything you want.
We'll be ready to help you fix things after the new year.
Yes, we'll geek out with you.